This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, James Jones and Will Pugh. I'm guessing it's going to be a bit more of a positive show, a bit more of a bubbly show, excuse the pun, because West Ham beat Chelsea. No wins in six for the Hammers, then they go and beat Chelsea. What a brilliant sport football is. 1 minute, where's the next win coming from? James, where is that light at the end of the tunnel? You go to Stamford Bridge, you haven't won since September 2002 at the Bridge. In comes David Martin, 33 years old, first appearance in the Premier League, his debut for his boyhood club, son of West Ham legend Alvin Martin, 1-0, clean sheet, 3 points. Thank you very much.
Bit easy, innit?
Too easy.
A little bit easy, innit? I'm still trying to get my head around it all, to be honest, because I think everyone wrote us off. You know, even West Ham, Pellegrini wrote us off as well. I mean, there was no chance of us going to Stamford Bridge, given the form of both sides, and getting any kind of result. I mean, the best result I was hoping for was maybe a 1-0 defeat.
You guessed 1-0 last week, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, so ingest. I was probably ingest. Yeah. I
mean, he's not giving you it. That's what exactly. Will really means. He doesn't even want to give you that correct scoreline.
No, 1-0, he said, 1-0.
But it's just, yeah, it's a great result. It really is. And, you know, made all the better by the fact it's Frank Lampard's Chelsea, because you love getting one over Frank when you're West Ham. And the David Martin story for me, the whole story is exactly what this football club needed this season. I genuinely believe it. It's exactly the sort of lift, the feel-good factor that we needed to really get our season back up and running. I'm not saying we're going to go and go to Wolves and win and beat Arsenal, which is doable these days, but the whole feel-good factor around the whole David Martin story and him hugging his dad, West Ham legend, in the press box, it's given us a real feeling that, you know, we can put the long run of defeats and draws behind us and start looking forward again.
Well, I was at the game at the weekend, and I was actually in the press box, and it was literally
Hospo moment.
Hospo, isn't it?
Oh, let's just pick that up. Excuse me, I was actually sitting with Alvin as he come over.
Not quite.
Having a coffee.
Just trying to touch him. David, come and wave. Hug me.
In the press box. Well, you've both changed.
But honestly, James is right. But one thing I think is hilarious is that, what have we been saying for 4 or 5 weeks since Roberto's come in, saying, oh, you know, how bad must David Martin be? He turns up and he was fantastic.
Yeah, it's the best clean sheet I've ever seen.
That's it. Well, yeah. But I think the thing is, he was, the whole story is lovely and it's brilliant and it's one to get carried away with, rightfully so, because too often these days players are accused of not showing emotion, not loving the game, etc., etc. And there you had an example of someone who really does and really loves the club. However, he had a solid game. If that was any other Premier League goalkeeper, you say, yeah, okay. But he certainly didn't look like a third-choice training ground goalie in any shape or form. And I think what helped as well is every single time he did anything standard, like standard goalkeeping, he plucked an easy cross out or he made a routine save, all the away fans were cheering it. And it wasn't ironic cheers that would put him on edge. They were really cheering and getting behind him from minute one, and you could just see his confidence was growing and growing and growing as the games come on. And I think there's a story come out today that West Ham or Pellegrini's now given the green light for Roberto to be shipped out in January. Martin will definitely be in for the next game. And I'd really, it just left me wondering why on earth Pellegrini didn't do this 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions around that. And to be fair, and I can be completely honest, I was one of those fans who was like, you know, are we going to kind of shoot ourselves in the foot a little bit by making that goalkeeper change again by bringing Martin in? I was a little bit worried, but then I weren't surprised to see him in that starting lineup when that team was announced on Saturday. But I was a little bit apprehensive. You know, I thought, you know, is it going to make things worse? You know, are the defence going to get a little bit more jittery given they've got another goalkeeper, someone that's got even less experience than Roberto behind them? But it paid off. But the best thing, the club released like a behind the scenes sort of like a quirky video of like sort of camera footage of the highlights that haven't been released anywhere else. And there's one moment, you know, he makes that triple save. I think one of the players offside anyway. So even if the ball did go in, it wouldn't have counted. and you hear the fans, and they've like up to the noise level of the fans. It's like we scored a goal when he gets over that ball. And I just think, you know, the fans were behind him, and that probably cheated him on a little bit better just to keep his shape and organise the defence a little bit more. And it's just a great story. I love it.
And yeah. You could tell as well, you could tell that confidence of just having a keeper who hasn't lathered his goalie gloves with Lerpak before the game. You could tell that it just, that spread through the team.
You can tell he went to goalie school.
Yeah, he definitely exactly. Went to David school. Martin went to goalie school and Roberto school. Didn't. Exactly that. And that spread throughout the team. You could just tell they were, I mean, that from the off, to be honest, they were running around and just doing the things that Noble said last few weeks that we've been moaning about they haven't done. Mm. Just running around and closing people down and putting tackles in and looking like they want to get to the ball before the opposition for a change. You could tell from the off, whatever happened, you knew the performance was going to be better. And we rode our luck a little bit, as you do in any Premier League game. Chelsea massively missed Tammy Abraham. Olivier Giroud was poor up front. And it's hard to slam him too much because his style of football does not fit in Chelsea's style of play. They were counter-attacking really quickly.
Strange didn't start Batshuayi, no?
Well, potentially, for the style, because they kept continually in the first half. We had quite a lot of the ball, and we were sort of... Chelsea slowly turned the screw as the half wore on. But we were in their half quite a lot, and they were breaking on us really quick, and they looked quite dangerous. Pulisic and Kovacic were coming out with pace. And the only thing was, they needed Abraham to just, for that last little injection of pace, while the West Ham defence was in disarray. But they didn't have that, and it just, having Giroud up there just stalled it time and time again for them. And, you know, I think it doesn't really matter whether... Because I don't think we were outstanding compared to them. But we just tried as hard as they did, worked as hard as they did. And it just finally paid off, which was fantastic.
Obviously, the hero of the day is David Martin. It was the story of the weekend. It was just a brilliant moment, hugging his dad in a press box. Will, I hate to go back to it, you were in that press box. But how beautiful was that moment? Because I think genuinely, not just for West Ham fans, but I was a bit like, I've got it on the Sky Plus, and I was saying to my missus, like, look at this, I was like, he's hugging his dad, his dad's a legend of this club. I went, look at this, I went, this is what sport's about. But it really was, and James spoke about it there, but I really do think this can be the spark or something to galvanise the side in the coming weeks. I'm not saying for the rest of the season, because football changes very quickly, but it can be, can't it?
But before we go on, what was your missus' reaction to that? Because I did the same thing with my missus. My missus went, oh yeah, alright, okay, whatever.
I do have to admit, she went, yeah, exactly, just faceless. Yeah.
just shocking. Start talking to a brick wall sometimes, isn't it?
Hurts, mate, hurts.
Yeah. Anyway, go on.
Sorry.
No.
I'm with you, brother.
So I feel a bit bad. I feel like an agony aunt. Dear Deirdre in here.
Yeah. Can we get a bed for that, please?
Dear Will. But no, I, to be honest, it was really touching. And you see he's in tears as well. And I think a few people have said online this week, and like the West Ham Twitter sphere, a lot of people saying exactly what you said, Charlie. Just that's what we need. That's just a little bit of a reconnect with between the fans and the squad. You know, the scenes at the end were absolutely fantastic to see. All the players went up to the away fans. And I think that's what's been missing the last few weeks, isn't it? It's just, you know, you sort of felt that not too many of them out there cared. Declan Rice played a lot better at the weekend. And obviously him and Noble have been our main sort of connections, if you like, to the squad. I think it was brilliant to have something like that. And I do, it is easy to forget that he did play quite well beforehand. But when he came up, that's what you want. You know, you get the feeling now that if he, you know, whenever he dies, even if that's his one solitary appearance for West Ham, and I don't think it will
Hang
be.
Hang on, he's just kept a clean sheet. Now we're talking about when he dies. He's only 33, the geezer.
No, but you know what I mean?
I talk about lowering the tone,
I know. Jesus. If he died tomorrow, Dear whenever
Will.
He dies, he'd be able to look back at that.
Dave,
if that
don't
was his
die,
only...
mate.
Unbelievable. We've wrote him off
already.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
it's just quite a stretch that we've gone there.
No,
Poor
but
baby.
You know what I mean? Retires. You'll be able to look
Retires
back at
would
that.
Have been nicer.
Yeah. You know what? I needed a little violin bed under that. That whole soliloquy was lovely. You have trodden all over it.
Well, I think you started it. We're talking about David Martin, and you said you weren't surprised to see him included in the side, James. No. How surprised were you that record signing Sebastien Haller wasn't in the starting lineup?
I mean, I didn't even notice because I sort of.
That's not good.
Yeah, I mean, no, I didn't notice when the team got announced. I didn't even notice it wasn't on the team sheet. It was only when I sort of, you know, when I was just flicking through Twitter.
Not great for his confidence.
No, and everyone was moaning about it, and I thought, oh blimey. But I'm not really surprised. He's not scored in, what, five or six games. I don't know whether it just needed him to be dropped just to I don't know, maybe kick him out the backside a little bit or not. But at the same time, I don't blame him for a lot, like for his little barren spell, because he's been isolated up top quite a lot this season. We haven't really played to his strengths. The four goals he has scored will be from crosses and that little run of games where we didn't win a game and we weren't putting cross in the box. So it wasn't really his fault, but Antonio came off the bench against Spurs and really showed what he could do. So it doesn't surprise me that he was given the go-ahead. But apparently he's injured now. So
yeah, I think Antonio's there's reports that he's injured for Wolves, but I think it might be a one-game out sort of thing back for Arsenal. But he was fantastic. He was a lot more mobile, to be honest, than Hell has been the last few games.
What I'd like to see, given the impact that Antonio's had, he's really given the club a lift, you know, because when he came off the bench against Spurs, we only scored two goals. And then he played so well against Chelsea. Just thought, well, why don't you play both of them up top? I don't think...
You couldn't away at Chelsea play two up front.
Yeah, I know, but moving forward, there's an option there because Haller did so well at Frankfurt, you know, playing off with a striker off him. It's quite clear that Ayeti hasn't really done much to warrant having a start yet in training. So why don't you give Antonio and Haller a chance up top together? Maybe that's what he's thinking for the next home game against Arsenal. I don't know, but I'd definitely give that a go.
I can't see him. He's not going to waver from that one up front, is he? Let's be honest. He's said that before.
Well, he's very stubborn in terms of his tactics, but I mean, he's got to do something because we're not going to have many more of those performances at Chelsea, I don't think.
If Antonio was fit, I think he'd leave Haller on the bench again. I genuinely do.
Will, do you think he made the right decision there?
100%, yeah. Antonio was loads more mobile than we've seen Haller be all season. I appreciate that might not be his game, but unfortunately that's what we needed. We needed what Antonio brought to the table at the weekend. He was picking the ball up, holding the ball up well, but he was running, rather than just within that, you know, width of the penalty area that Haller seems to stick to, he was touchline to touchline, Antonio, bringing both wingers into play a lot of the time. He was, like I say, holding defenders off, enabling those players to actually catch up with play for a change. And he was fantastic. And Haller, unfortunately, hasn't bought us that. And I think if it wasn't for the injury to Antonio, then I think he'd start again at Wolves.
Is this a worry that, you know, £45 million and we're saying, yeah, he deserves to be on the bench. You know, it's not his game. He's not mobile. This is the man that you've got. And then he can't get in the side, James.
No, for me, it's not a worry. I think again we haven't played to his strengths just yet, but I think we'll get to a point where we'll have to. I don't know whether it may be the first sort of half of the season they're still trying to get used to each other and he's still trying to get used to his teammates and the system and stuff. But I think he'll come good. I mean, he's already scored four goals and that's more than most other strikers we've had in the team for the last sort of decade, isn't it? So I think he'll come good. Maybe he needed to be dropped for one or two games, but we'll get him firing. We definitely will.
Well, there was a few changes for West Ham, but they did get the result. And Will, I know you wanted to quickly mention something that we touched upon last week.
That's it. Yeah, just a reminder for everyone. We mentioned last week Lily Harris, the young lady or the 33-year-old that we paid tribute to at Tottenham. On the We Are West Ham Twitter account, we said last week we tweet out the link for anyone who wants to make donations, which goes to Bart's Hospital where she had some treatment. We're just going to retweet that out again now in case anyone missed it last week.
Brilliant. Please check that out now on the We Are West Ham Twitter. Next, we will be talking about the FA Cup draw and Pellegrini.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, James Jones and Will Pugh. We were just talking about the brilliant victory against Chelsea, the first one there since September 2002. A long time coming, but it was well worth the wait, especially for David Martin. We're going to be looking at the games with Wolves and Arsenal later. Two massive fixtures there. David Martin still in goal for West Ham. Can he build on that clean sheet? Can West Ham build on those 3 points? Quickly, though, we mentioned the players, we mentioned the game. Let's talk about the manager, because obviously it's dominated the show for the past few weeks. You know, he's been on the hot seat. We know it's a little bit of a managerial merry-go-round at the minute. For this, you know, has it completely quashed all types of Pellegrini on the hot seat with this win, Will?
I think he's probably bought himself another 3 games. If we go and get absolutely slapped in the same fashion as we have been the last few weeks at Wolves on Wednesday, then, or tomorrow, when, no, obviously not. But I mean, we'll get onto it later when we do the Wolves bit, but if he gets a result there, then you know, happy days, and he buys himself a bit more. That's how it works, isn't it, really? If that turns out at the weekend to be a bit of a flash in the pan, and just because...
It's just money in the bank, isn't it, for him at the moment.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Just because it was Chelsea, he's probably... that guillotine was hovering very close over his neck, wasn't it? And he's just been able to crank that up a little bit more and give himself a bit of breathing space.
I like that.
Yeah, that's better than my David Martin's dead analogy.
Yeah, you brought it back, mate. Well worked. I saw what you was doing in the break. Nice, I liked it. James, what about you?
I mean, I know...
You've got to match that metaphor.
Last chance for that. For the last couple of weeks, I've been very vocal in that I want him gone.
Have you?
Yeah, yeah. Can you believe it?
Was it on Twitter, the radio, Facebook, or just...
I don't think you've been overly vocal. I think you're being quite harsh on yourself there.
Well, a few weeks ago, I was like, nah, he's got to stay. And then Newcastle happened, and then... You know,
he's got to go.
Yeah. So, I don't think he's 100% safe just because he's won at Chelsea. As Will said, he's bought himself a little bit of time. But we've got to now build on that. We've got to go and get a result at Wolves. I mean, touch wood, we should get a result against Arsenal, given the form they're in at the moment. And then if you go three games unbeaten, then suddenly, you know, we're looking good again. And the way the league's looking at the moment, we could be back in the race for the top six. But let's not get ahead of ourselves, because we could be in the bottom three. it's just a strange one, but I don't think we can say he's 100% safe now.
Yeah, I've just heard the producer said we've clipped that up, James, saying that we could be in the bottom three, but Pellegrini might be staying around top six. Top six, bottom three, Pellegrini's going to stay. All in one sentence. Brilliant, James. You do it to yourself. Let's talk. We're talking about Pellegrini. Let's talk a little bit about Anderson now, because they had a little bit of a set two. Will, what is going on?
Yeah, they did. They had a big old tay-tar-tay in front of...
Tay-tar-tay?
Tay-tar-tay. You're on form tonight, Will.
I've never... What's that when that's at home? Tay-tar-tay?
Tay-tar-tay is like a ding-dong.
I've never heard that. Have you, James? Yeah. Tay-tar-tay.
It's backward and forward. Is it? Oh, it might be a tay-tar-tay. It's probably my dad just teaching me it wrong.
Unbelievable.
But anyway, so Felipe Anderson and Manuel Pellegrini had a ding-dong, or a bit of a bust-up,
if they had a tay-tar-tay,
like,
come on.
As Anderson got hauled off. And this is just my opinion, deservedly hauled off from what I was seeing. Looked a bit lazy again, not really going for challenges, didn't really create much going forward. And yeah, I think for once there's been rumours and there's been suggestions that there's a rift between the pair, and he's hauled him off a lot recently. He got brought off at half time last week, and I think it was the first time really that we could see it in front of us, because he came off. It was Anderson first who gesticulated. Yeah. He didn't look happy as he came off the pitch, did the classic arm up in the air as he went past Pellegrini, muttered something to him. Pellegrini went back, and then the two of them went back and forward, sort of, I'd say, three or four more times as Anderson took his seat on the bench and did the customary throwing down of the
classic
training top that was passed to him by one of the assistants.
Someone gives him the Lucozade bottle and that goes. I love it.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. So there was some of that, and it was interesting. I mean, I've been banging on about it for a few weeks now, that he's been really...
Have you?
One of the more frustrating figures on the pitch for me in the poor run that we've had. And we mentioned it right at the end of the show last week, that we said we were going to put it out to a poll, because it seemed to really split the fans down the middle. There seemed to be some people getting really irate, going, why is he bringing Anderson off all the time, da da da. And people like me sitting there going, well, I don't know what game you're watching, because I don't know why he's been on or even starting in the first place. So we put a poll out on @we_are_West Ham on Twitter earlier on. Felipe Anderson, after the comments on last week's show, his performance at Chelsea before being hauled off again, the bust up with Pellegrini on the touchline, and his general contribution this season, do you think he should start against Wolves? And much to my annoyance, I mean, it wasn't a landslide, but we've got 60%.
This one came back to bite you, didn't it?
It did a little bit. Yeah, yeah. I was quite hopeful that this was going to put it to bed. But
if I was on there, I would have helped you there, mate.
Thanks. So 60% of the We Are West Ham listeners said yes, he should start Wolves, and 40% no. I do think that the 40% has been a bit of a landslide. And a couple of comments. Scott Fortley, said, I can't recall a good game he's had so far this season. Maybe he has, but I don't remember it. Dan Evans says Norwich. That's about it. So, again, it's not exactly convincing. The fans almost split down the middle, but I'm still not convinced.
Yeah, it's still fairly close. James, where did you vote, though?
I voted yes.
You said no last week.
Unbelievable. What a
turncoat.
The reason this is going to be a tete-a-tete. I mean,
it's a real tete-a-tete. Yeah. I said to you in the break that who replaces him?
No. Okay.
He's not having it.
Because you've got to drop him to let him know he's undroppable. All right, fair enough. I know we haven't
good
got.
Point.
And I think that's why he doesn't really look like he's that bothered most weeks anyway, because he knows no one is like, there's no one there to take his place. That's an age old football cliche, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I get that. And I agree that he's had more average or poor games than he's had good games. I think he's had one good game this season with Norwich, two good games last year that I can remember, and that was maybe three with Man United at home, Burnley at home, maybe won 4-2, and Southampton away when he scored those two goals. But other than that, you know, he's either been poor or he's just been average. He's not really shone, you know, outside of five games or something. So I get why people want to see him dropped. And I think, you know, if he has had a tete-a-tete with Pellegrini, then I reckon Pellegrini might drop him for the Wolves game. But who comes in to replace him? It's a difficult one, because you're right, there's not many players behind him that can do the job that Pellegrini wants him to do.
I think I'm not saying this long term. I don't mean drop him long term. I just think for a week, even if you just put the front three, like Fornals did well at the weekend. Yarmolenko, I know he's been a bit hit and miss this season, but we know he's got a good game in him. And then Snodgrass, again, just like you called him a workhorse just now. That's what he does. You know what you're going to get. Even if you do that just for a game, just to let him know, as he has with Haller and a few players earlier on this season, that look, none of you are undroppable. And I think, because Anderson, he doesn't feel that at the moment. That's why he just turns up and puts in a 6 or 6 out of 10 mere performance.
This is the game to drop him as well, because the way Wolves play as well, you need players to be able to track back, and you know, because they're going to counter a lot. You know, they're like running at opposition when they get the opportunity, and you're going to need your wingers to track back and help out. And we're not going to have all the ball against Wolves at the Molyneux, so. Maybe this is the game to drop him, because he doesn't like tracking back very often, does he? So, and we know that. So, yeah, maybe this is the one, but...
Just to sum up, though, so apart from not offering much going backwards or forwards, you rate him?
Never said I rated him. I mean, I do think he's a good player.
That's the same as rating him, isn't it?
He wants to be, though. He's too inconsistent for me. He hasn't justified the 40 million could be paid Lazio for him. And he's got to buck his ideas up. Otherwise, you know... I don't know, he'll have to leave the club, because what's the point of having a player there 40 million quid if you're not going to play like a £40 million player every single week?
Yeah, very interesting. Will he be in that Wolves side? We will be talking to Jordan Russell from Wolves Fancast in just a moment. But before that, this week it was the draw for the FA Cup third round. Gillingham away. Obviously, maybe an ideal draw, you know, in a sense, you know, you want to try to progress. We want to quickly forget about Oxford and what happened there in the League
about
Cup.
Oxford. Oh, yeah, it's an away draw, chance to progress.
This is what I was saying. When you watched the draw, who did you want and what did you think when Gillingham came out, James?
I was buzzing when Gillingham came out. I was watching through my fingers when Millwall came out and City came out, and I thought, oh, no, please, no. But luckily, Gillingham away... I'm quite happy with that. I was happy with Oxford, so I don't really know how to call this one. It is what it is. I just know what we're like.
One of my mates lives around the corner, so that was about as... I was pretty buzzing with that. Yeah,
same
I was like,
here.
Oh, we're going to stay around his house afterwards.
My mate, who's a massive West Ham fan, moved to Gillingham about 3 years ago. And he texted me straight away. I was like, I'm absolutely buzzing, mate. He's like, I still want me to get a ticket, though. So I was like,
see you later,
then. See you later.
No, same as James,
that's
really.
Nice.
I think it's so important, and I think they will, that I think he'll just put out the first 11. I think he must have learned his lesson from last time.
No.
He must have done. He must have just, surely, he'll just throw
everyone
out the first 11.
He learned his lesson at Wimbledon last year, and then Oxford happened this year.
He still won't drop Anderson, either.
I don't know.
Well, it is Gillingham in the Cup. How far can West Ham progress? Something of a double header next. We're going to be speaking to Jordan Russell all about the Wolves game, and then we're going to be speaking to Dan Cutt, sports news editor at The Sun, to preview the Arsenal game.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with We Are West Ham, Will Pugh and James Jones. Still time to get in touch tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Let us know your thoughts on Anderson, because he was part of a poll that We Are West Ham done. opposition view now, and it is a double header. I'm delighted to say Jordan Russell joins us from the Wolves Fancast. Jordan, always a pleasure to chat to you. Normally I get to chat to you on the Wolves Fan Show. This time you are the guest on the West Ham Fan Show. Massive game tomorrow night. What are you making of this contest?
I think it makes it a lot more interesting after they managed to win at Stamford Bridge on Saturday. I won't lie to you. I thought that I generally was very fearful that they'd go there to Stamford Bridge on Saturday, get a bit of a hammer in, and then Pellegrini would be sacked, and I thought that we'd have the bounce back syndrome with a new manager. So it could have done Wolves a favour, actually, than winning on the weekend. I think it's, you know, I think that a good West Ham team, if they turn up tomorrow, will pose a threat for us, but they're so inconsistent, I think it's quite hard to know which West Ham team's going to turn up. So, yeah, I'm expecting a good game tomorrow night, to be honest with you. I think it's really hard to call, but I fancy if Wolves turn up and play to the best of the capabilities, we should be coming away with 3 points.
Evening, Jordan. You mentioned there if Wolves turn up and play to the best of their abilities. From my point of view, I'm sort of hanging my hat on that being a big if, and that perhaps that will be quite difficult, given I think West Ham benefited from a European hangover against Chelsea on the weekend. They had a long trip to Valencia. Your boys obviously went to Braga last Thursday in Portugal before a tough home draw with Sheffield United on Sunday. I'm basically hanging my hat on you lot all being a little bit tired. Do you think there's anything in that?
You're probably right, to be honest with you. I mean, we didn't actually make any subs even on Sunday. It's not, you know, it's quite widely documented that we've had a couple of injuries within the squad with Willy Bolly, and Roman Sais was suspended on the weekend. So we have got, on the whole, quite a small squad. So I would expect a couple of changes from ourselves tomorrow as well. It's obviously a busy time, well, busy period for any team, let alone chucking Europe into the mix as well. So that's sort of in the back of my mind as well. I'm hoping and I'm hopeful of, if Wolves turn up to the best of their abilities, I'm sure that, you know, I'm fairly confident of us picking up the 3 points. However, I am expecting a few changes tomorrow and a West Ham team with a bit of confidence after Saturday's great result.
Jordan, what have you made of your season so far? I mean, a lot of people had expected Wolves, given the great season you had last year, to maybe suffer from the Europa League curse, as it's been come to known over the last few years. But after a bit of a shaky start, you seem to, you know, you're up there in the top eight, is it top six, winning games in Europe, and it's looking all right, albeit drawing quite a lot of games. Have you been quite pleased with the way it's gone so far?
I mean, I've spoken with Charlie a few times about this on the Wolves fan show, and you know, we did start off relatively slowly. And I think if you ask most Wolves fans, even with being sixth in the league at the moment, we still haven't really hit our straps last season, which is quite a scary thing, to think that we're actually sixth in the league. And probably we're on the level points as we were this time last season. We've probably been a bit fortunate with the Man United, your Tottenhams and Arsenal not performing to probably where the media would expect them to be. So, yeah, we've not hit full straps yet. We've seen glimpses of it. And that's what I think Wolves fans are hoping for, that we are going to click into gear and really take off like we did probably February, March time last year. And, you know, I think there is another gear for us to go, which is the exciting thing about Wolves at the minute.
Yeah, well, Jordan, it is 9 unbeaten games for Wolves, I believe, in the Premier League. So they're going to be feeling confident. They're going to want to make it double digits. It is West Ham. What is your score prediction?
Again, I think after Saturday's result, it's a massive result for West Ham. So, again, I didn't watch much of the game. I've only seen the highlights on Match of the Day. I think that the noise around West Ham before that game was very negative and wanted Pellegrini out. I mean, I'm sure the boys on the show would say a bit more about how that atmosphere still is at the club. So, like I say, I think if Wolves do turn up tomorrow and we play to the best of our abilities, I do fancy us to win the game. But I think West Ham are a good team and they've got good individuals that could hurt any team, as shown on Saturday. So sticking my neck out on the line, I'd say Wolves will come away with a 2-1 win. But I wouldn't be surprised if West Ham got anything from their game either.
Ah, Jordan, you put your neck out there, then you backtrack. You wanted to make friends. Always good to hear from you, Jordan. I'll probably chat to you tomorrow on the Wolves Fan Show. Jordan Russell,
absolutely,
there from the Wolves Fancast. Always good to have Jordan on. He was saying that Wolves are going to win. You know, he's saying they're in good form. He stuck his neck out on the line. Turn my attentions to you two. Will, what are you making this one?
Yeah, I generally am hopeful. I think it would be such a West Ham thing to do, wouldn't it, to
be on the edge of turmoil, on the edge of relegation, on the edge of sacking our manager, and then go and win two away games on the bounce against the division's, two of the division's tougher teams. So, no, I genuinely think the old European hangover thing, is Sheffield United's never an easy game. So I've got to genuinely think we'll nick it again. I think the David Martin bounce back effect is going to be enough.
Oh, he's banking on it. It is away, though. It's tricky. They don't lose a lot of games at home, Wolves. James, what are you making of it?
I think a win's probably going to be tougher than it would have been at Stamford Bridge, if I'm honest. I think a point would be a fantastic result, so I'm going to go 1-1 again.
He's going for 1-1 again. Well, it's something of a little mini first here. We're doing two opposition views. That was Wolves. Now, delighted to say we are joined by Dan Cutts, sports news editor at The Sun, Arsenal fan, because West Ham play Arsenal. This is a Monday night game, massive game for both teams involved here, a London derby. Dan, Arsenal, no manager at the minute. Freddie Ljungberg is in interim charge. Unai Emery sacked on Friday morning. They've got Brighton on Thursday, but we're looking at the game on Monday. Is West Ham, what are you making on this one?
It's grim times over at the Emirates at the minute. It's not fun at all. It's a tricky one. Obviously, I don't know if you guys have caught much of Arsenal this season, but they've been pretty dreadful throughout. As you say, no manager, could have a new manager in charge by Monday, but it looks like Ljungberg's going to get the job for a few weeks at least as they look for a new replacement for Emery. I was a bit worried, if truth be told, because I've been to the last two games at the London Stadium to watch Arsenal and West Ham, and I don't think we've won there since 2016, when Sanchez scored a hat-trick, I think, that day. And you never know which West Ham are going to turn up, do you, as you boys already know. Mm. So, I'm a bit worried about it, if truth be told, more so from an Arsenal point of view than a West Ham point of view.
Dan, you mentioned the Freddie Ljungberg there. There certainly wasn't much of a Ljungberg bounce-back effect or whatever on the weekend at Norwich. Does that just tell everyone that it's the players that are a problem rather than whoever happens to be the manager at the time?
I mean, he's only had 2 days himself to sort of prepare the team, so I wasn't expecting, my hopes weren't that high going to Norwich. And as I say, my hopes aren't particularly high for Brighton on Thursday, if truth be told. But I do think that the issue is that there's some good players there, as you guys already know, like your Aubameyangs, your Lacazettes and whatnot. They've just got no confidence that those players at all. But we're essentially being saved by our striker and our goalkeeper at the minute, which is never a good idea. I think there's also worries. I'm worried about. I don't think a lot of those players are actually good enough as well, to be honest with you, Will.
Callum Chambers, as an example, perhaps?
Exactly. I mean, he was in a relegated Fulham team last year, and now he's the first choice right back. I know they've got Bellerin injured, but now he's playing week in, week out at Arsenal. He's not quite good enough. We all know the problems with Mustafi. Luiz has been nothing short of a disaster in my eyes. You could look across that back four and they all need to go. And the less said about the midfield, the better. But
apart from that, though.
Yeah. No, it's all fun and games over there, trust me.
Dan, yeah. I actually happened to be there on Thursday night for the Frankfurt game. Honestly, it gave me a lot of hope.
You were one of the only ones, weren't you?
Yeah, well, funny enough, my mate had three spare tickets. He brought me, a Spurs fan, a guy that don't even like football. That's how desperate he was to give away the tickets. But it actually gave me hope going into this game a little bit. And that's even before we'd beaten Chelsea. Because, you know, watching the likes of David Luiz and Granit Xhaka, just playing really, really poorly, sort of gave me a bit of hope. But the one thing that did strike me was just the sheer... the lack of atmosphere and the lack of interest from Arsenal fans. You know, how does Ljungberg, and that, apart from winning football matches, that's the obvious thing, how do they win the fans back and the trust back? Because, you know, that's a problem that West Ham have had sort of recently and, you know, quite a lot in the past. And that's a battle that Ljungberg's got to win, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've been going to Arsenal before I joined The Sun for 20 years as a fan, and I've never seen it this bad, which might not shock you that much because I was quite lucky in the in the Wenger years, but it's been a struggle for over since he left, really. And this is by far the worst I've ever seen it there. As you say, there was about three people and his dog there at the Frankfurt game. They're going away in their droves at the minute, and I think the fans, they have a very vocal fan base on social media, as you well know, Arsenal fans, and they're not happy, as you imagine. I think they said that the attendance was 39,000, but there was, as I say, about 10,000 people there at that Frankfurt game. I think having Lundberg in charge is a good idea at this point. I think having like a club legend, and that, remember when Solskjaer came in at United and there was that sort of, he sort of had a little grace period, and I think that's probably a good idea as Arsenal look for a new long-term manager. I don't even think Arsenal fans are particularly, I think they can still get to the top four, but I think, like you say, winning games is really the only way they're going to do it now. But the problem is the players are so out of form that I just don't know how they're going to do that. I think they won't get a result against Brighton. I don't think they're going to get a result against West Ham either, which is a worry.
Well, Dan, that sort of makes my next question redundant, but I was going to ask you for a score prediction for Monday night against the Hammers. What are you saying?
I'm going to go as an optimistic fan rather than a pessimistic fan. But I'm going to go 2-1 West Ham win because I think they're going to.
That's the first time.
That's a really optimistic Arsenal fan.
I know. On Monday, after a few beers, I'll probably be a bit more joyful. But at this current time, there's nothing to be joyful out of the Emirates. So yeah, I'll go for a 2-1.
Going for 2-1. Dan, a real pleasure to have you on. Dan Cutts there, sports news editor from The Sun. Sam at West Ham, they're going to beat Arsenal on Monday night. You two will certainly take that, won't you?
I love how optimistic guess is a 2-1 win to West Ham.
I think that's the first ever opposition view that's predicted West Ham to win.
Yeah. You two nice. Definitely be getting Dan back on there. Yeah, James, what is your score prediction for Monday?
I'm gonna also be optimistic and say we're gonna win 1-0.
1-0.
Yeah. See, I think 4 points from the next two games, but I think we get the win at Wolves, and I think 1-1 against Arsenal.
Okay, but 4 points would be good, and then obviously with a 3 from Chelsea, 7 from 9, going well for Pellegrini and West Ham once more. But next up, it is the tradition, it is the favourite, it is the Rogue West Ham Mystery Players Quiz.
Giving your team a voice, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the West Ham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. In the studio, we are West Ham, Will Pugh and James Jones. It is now my favourite part of the show. It is the Rogue West Ham Mystery Players Quiz. And this one is special because currently James leads 6-5 and 18-15 on goal difference. There is 3 shows, including this one, till the Christmas break, which is what the bet is for Will and James. So James could have a 2-game lead if he wins this. Will could draw level tonight. It is huge going forward, isn't it, Will?
It is massive, Charlie, but as you know, having been 4-1 down before, I'm not one to bulk under the pressure. I brought it back to 4-all then. Got a decent win last week as well, under some intense pressure once again. So I'm not the sort of man who gets fazed by that sort of thing, am I, as you well know?
In true Gloves Are Off style, James, I'll give you a response before, because I don't want this to turn into a tete-a-tete.
I mean, if I win this one, then Will was going to have to rely on a real... Aguero moment on the deciding week on the 17th.
Yeah, I mean,
to win it on goal difference potentially. It's going to be interesting the next 2 weeks. But I reckon I got this one in the bag. It's my pint.
Let's just remember, he said if, isn't he? It's such a huge if. But
well, this is it. This matters tonight. This is the West Ham Rogue West Ham Mystery Players Quiz. 3 players, 5 clues. Fingers on the buzzer. The first to get them. Player number one. Clue number one. Started their career at Wickham in 2000.
Class that.
Clue number two. I played 6 times for West Ham.
I don't think anyone's ever started their career at Wickham.
Ever.
No.
Clue number three. Played for FC Pune City in the Indian Premier League. Clue number four.
Gary Breen.
That is incorrect. clue number four. It's a random, but a good one. Clue number four. West Ham debut was in the 6-0 league defeat to Man City.
Oh, which one? It doesn't say.
Hanu Tainihan?
Again, that is incorrect. And the last clue, nicknamed the Relegator.
Oh,
the Relegator.
Roger Johnson.
That is correct.
Oh,
and that
mate.
Is James Jones 1, Will Pugh 0. James, huge to get off the mark.
I was there at that debut. Yeah, rumour has it he's still running backwards. I was in Osprey for that game as well, actually, funny enough.
Oh, what? Typical.
That was 2000. Jeez, how old is Roger Johnson?
Will, 51. He didn't sign for us in 2000. He started his career in 2000.
Flat, Will, you don't fold under pressure. You said we go on to player number two. Clue number one. Signed for 1.5 million in December, also year 2000.
Signed for West Ham that year.
Signed for West Ham for 1.5 million in December 2000. Clue number two. Played 14 times for West Ham, scoring 0 goals. Clue number three. A Liverpool cult hero.
Rigobert Song?
That is incorrect.
Oh, it's a shout.
I think we've already had him.
That's a really great shout, to be fair.
I think we have
Neil
had
Mellor?
Him. That is incorrect. Clue number four, shirt number 29.
Lebo? Oh, no, Lebo, yeah. Sorry.
He is a Liverpool colleague.
He was 29.
Clue number five, Guinea international. Stumped you.
Titi Kamara.
That is correct.
Oh, see, I was thinking of unbelievably, Omri Kamara, but it won't. Yeah, get that. Yeah, it's a good shout.
Unbelievably. Almost like clockwork. It is 1-1. We go on to the final player. It couldn't matter more here on the West Ham Mystery Players Quiz. Final player with the scores currently tied. First one to get it. Clue number one. Final game for West Ham was in the 1-0 defeat to Swansea.
When?
That's all it says. Listen, I'll just read the clues as I get them.
I mean,
clue number two. Don't mock the clue, man. Reese is a legend. Clue number two. Booked on West Ham debut against Derby in 1997.
Oh God,
Reese, come on, mate.
Igor Steamatch.
Incorrect. I think we've had him as well. Clue number three. Ended career at Norwich. Clue number four, scored 33 goals for West Ham.
Ooh.
Clue number five, is I think this is where you'll get it. Volleyed his own teammate in the head.
John Hartson.
That is correct. James has got it. It is John Hartson.
He was the wrong one.
He got volleyed in the head.
Unbelievable scenes in this studio. They both leapt for it. They both shot for it. And it is James who comes up with the goods. Triumphant James Jones 2-1.
The answer was John Hartson.
He kicked it. Ayo Berkovic in the head.
Unbelievable. Will's out of there.
He said the wrong name.
Brilliant that was. I knew you'd get a clue five.
John Hartson volleyed Ayo Berkovic in the head.
Yeah, so you basically said the guy that
got volleyed
in the head. I don't want to say the presenter didn't read the clue out clear enough, but you know.
What, volleyed his own teammate in the head?
I saw you shipped a bye in there. Volleyed by his own teammate. I think that's what all the listeners heard.
Oh, that's no. Really poor form.
It's terrible,
which makes
isn't
it even sweeter that James Jones won, which means it is 7-5 in game weeks and it's 2016 to James.
You need two big weeks, Will. Two massive weeks.
Ugh. Unbelievable. Get the pints in. Get the pints in.
Ah, oh, terrible that.
How do you feel? You do not fold under pressure.
No.
You do not blink when you were 4-1 down. You are now 7-5 down.
Still winnable. I mean, it could also be dead heat.
It's dead rubbers for you now, James.
You need 2-3-0 wins.
To win, yeah, but I could still pull it level.
Yeah, but we need, if we can put it level, we need Reece to come up with a couple of
we need
it like last week, because last week was some classics.
I mean, I feel like this week was a classic battle, to be fair. We're both quite close on both.
Until you scored an own goal.
Ayo Berkovic, that's...
It was unlucky.
Volleyed in the head. I could see you leaping for it as well.
It's a great clue. But James, 2-1, how are you feeling? Victorious.
Yeah, I'm buzzing. Yeah.
Because you had a mini slump and now you've sort of, again, got a bit of breathing space.
I had a few bad weeks, but you know, I'm back on it. So I start West Ham, a few bad weeks, but back on it with a great win. And we go again.
I'm so
big team mentality.
Yeah,
I am a bit surprised though that we didn't get the John Hartson on the first clue of played his first game in the 1-0 defeat to Swansea.
I know.
Date to be confirmed.
So obvious. And then he was booked against Derby.
Yeah. You don't remember that 1997?
I don't remember that particular game. I'm sorry. No. Sorry, Reese.
Ended his career at Norwich.
Again, I didn't even know John Hartson played for Norwich.
No.
Ended his career there, James.
Well, you learn something new every day. Every day's a school.
No Arsenal clue. There was no Arsenal clue there. That would have made
That's
me.
That's what threw me.
Yeah. Well, it was 2-1. Will was denying that any player ever started their career at Wickham in 2000. But it was Roger Johnson.
Of all the people. Of all Roger the people Johnson. To lose on as well. Yeah. Roger Johnson. I must admit, starting his career in 2000, what did he play for us in 2016?
2014, maybe.
Yeah, but he was probably what?
He was about 51 then, wasn't he?
Yeah.
One of the all-time worst players to ever play for the club. A long time. Titi Kamara, to be fair. Yeah.
Well, James wins the Rogue West Ham Mystery Players Quiz. What a show this has been. We spoke to Jordan Russell and Dan Cutts, giving us the Arsenal and Wolves preview. Pellegrini's hot seat. Well, it's not so hot as it once was. The Chelsea game, the 1-0 victory there. As always, this has been the West Ham Fan Show with We Are West Ham, Will Pugh and James Jones. They are here as they are every Tuesday, 7 to 8, right here on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.